Oh, my grandma just came on Skype. Should I add her?
Yes. I can add either of my ex-girlfriends.
I can add the father of my girlfriend. Fucking ready for this. Seriously. DK, take it off. 3, 2, 1, hit it!
The DK and Kara Show!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the DK and Car Show. I'm DK, and today we have our usual co-host, Hugo Vanderwalk.
Hello, there.
And as a guest today, we also have Ryan White, a.k.a. Goose.
Reporting live from Dylan Thomas's boathouse.
All right, so let's go ahead and get started.
All righty then. Well, we're going to jump into the action right away, guys. Two nights ago, we have seen one of the biggest upsets in summer contest history in an 8-seed Neo taking down a number 1 seed, Luke. Clearly inspired by this huge upset, Belgian tennis player Darcy managed to bust out Rafael Nadal in the first round of Wimbledon.
God damn, dude.
Whoa! Alright, some facts, guys, about this match. 33 people predicted Luke to win this match, and only 2 people predicted Trent or Neo to win this match. That's insane.
Who were the two?
I don't know. Who were it?
I'm not sure. I think one of them may have been a joke or a test entry. So there may have been only one legitimate person picking Neo in that match.
Yeah. So the voting blocks of GoldenEye, Twitch, Newest School, New School, and the PR votes all went to Luke. And those were exactly those blocks where we last time agreed upon that these would be the deciding factors into winning it all this year. Well, clearly it turned out to be not the case on the first match of the season already. So my question for you, Goose, is this really an upset?
I don't think it's necessarily an upset. I think you could make the case that Luke was overseeded, perhaps. He was voted as one of the top 4 in the whole contest from the nominations, but is he really one of the most popular 4 leaders? You know, he's a very cool dude, but he plays GoldenEye, doesn't really chat much with Endgamer and the Virginia crew or the Ohio crew, hasn't really been to the meets, this kind of thing. So maybe he was overseeded. Neo, on the other hand, has been here for 10, 15, 20 years. He's gone to meets, he hangs out and chat all the time. And, you know, he did make a point. He said in a post that he has been playing GoldenEye and Perfect Dark lately, and I've actually noticed it a bit. He has gotten some okay times. So maybe Neo was underseeded as an 8 seed, you know? Maybe everyone forgot to nominate him, and Endgamer just put him in as an 8 seed, and, you know, what happened.
Yeah, well, does that mean that the play-in rounds or the nominating system is, like, flawed?
I don't necessarily think it's flawed. It's just that people have different criteria for who they nominate. Some people might nominate who they think are the most popular leaders or the leaders that they most want to see in the contest. So I think in general, the seeds are a fair indicator of strength in the contest, but you have to take into account the fact that not everybody is basing their nominations on the same criteria. For instance, when I do my nominations, I know I like to try to nominate a lot of people who I think deserve to be in the contest, people that I also think that others might not think about a whole lot. So I try to, you know, send some nominations to people like that so they have a chance of making the contest if I think that they deserve to be in there, but they might be, you know, like overlooked, I guess.
Yeah.
But other people may nominate differently. They may choose to go with the people who are really strong. And obviously, Luke was one of those guys that got a ton of nominations. And just from my perspective, it certainly felt like he was one of those really popular leaders this year. It definitely had that feel to it where, I mean, it just felt like he was one of the most popular people in the elite over this past year. So I don't know. I'm pretty surprised by this result. But if you do look at the voter breakdowns, all those groups that you mentioned did go to Luke. If you look at chat, even Neo did win chat. but not really in that dominating fashion. Only a margin of victory of 6 votes in chat, 12-6.
Yeah.
But I think what really put Neo over the top was an incredible amount of North American support. 17 of his 20 votes came from North America, so I think that's what ended up giving Neo the edge there.
Yeah. We like to treat this one kind of as a sport-like event, the way we set it up with the bracket, etc. If you would compare this type of tournament to a sports tournament, then shouldn't there be something like a protected seeding, taking into account your previous year's results as well? What do you think about that, Goose?
Well, I mean, no one gave Rafael Nadal a protected seed. I don't agree. I think you just let it happen. I think you just roll it through and see what happens.
All right. So no protecting the guys that did well last year.
Well, I mean, you know, the winners always, you know, get retired from the competition. I just don't see why, for instance, Jimbo, who came second last year, you know, needs to be protected into this contest for a match or two. I think, you know, he's probably going to get voted into the contest this year. And if not, if he stops being in the leader or whatever, he doesn't get voted in, then that's his own undoing.
Yeah.
You know, we actually used to protect the top 10 players from each game, if you remember. If you were top 10 in Perfect Dark Gold, now you automatically got in. And now we see a lot of top 10 players like Taka and Henning who haven't made it this year. Why? Because they trolled around and fucked around for a long time and nobody wanted to vote them in.
Yeah, I think it's that brings up a good point. It's worth noting. I mean, I wasn't around for the very early days of the contest, but from what I understand it, up until the 2009 contest, all of the fields up until then were selected by a committee, so there weren't even nominations up until 2009.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
In 2008, that huge mega contest where I think we had 128 people in it, and we had the four-way matches. That was all done by a selection committee as well. So we've only had noms for a couple of years, and I think this system has worked out pretty well in terms of creating a decent field for the summer contest.
Yeah, it did used to be a selection committee, and I do recall that's how Spider Waffle made so many contests. And pretty much any chatter would tell you that Spider Waffle, for a week before the contest, was in chat begging to be put in. I guess the reason the committee put in all the top 10 Gold Knight Perfect Dark players was to kind of say, well, here's the gamers, now we're going to go pick a bunch of irrelevant chatters like Spider Waffle.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's pretty close to the truth as well. All right. So, guys, back to wrapping up some play-in matches. We have MK barely winning against Jamie Bauer, earning himself a place into the first round, taking it up against Alex Anderson next. Do we have Comet showing a good fight against Glenn, who will take it up against Ace in the first round, actually. That's an interesting matchup. We got Nate absolutely vaporizing Alec, resulting into one of the biggest blowouts in the summer contest history. Also, he's taking it up against Carl in the first round. That's will make for some nice fireworks as well. And then we have maybe the most interesting match of all the qualifiers. It was Jones versus Com. Now, I remember Jimbo last week speaking about Jones and that he could be a dark horse, etc. But Com proved him wrong. Actually, 22 people predicted Jones to win that match, and only 13 people predicted Com to win that match. Com ended up winning that one 20-22. DK, what are your thoughts on this match?
I'm not really sure what exactly happened with this one. I was expecting Jones to win as well, but just looking at some of the breakdowns, most of the major categories were pretty close. Twitch voters were tied 9-9. Chat actually went in Jones's favor by a hair, 9-8. Goldeneye was in Cum's favor, but only by 2 votes, 16-14. North America, which is another big block that's playing a big role this year, Jones actually won 16-14, but it looks like probably the biggest margin of victory that Cum had in terms of the major voting blocks was the active vote. He won 12-7. So I think that may be what put him over the top. And I think what played a role in that was Cum's activity in Twitch chats, which you'd think would show up in the Twitch voting block. But he split that one with Jones. I mean, Jones is very active in streaming as well.
Yeah.
Not so much active in like other people's chat rooms, though. That's something that Cum does. Cum's kind of the opposite. He doesn't really stream much himself, but he does spend a lot of time in other people's Twitch chats. So I think that's maybe why he got, you know, a couple more of those active player votes there.
Yeah, and maybe Jones just isn't too well known outside of the PA or Twitch side of the community. So, you know, Cum has been around for so long, and, you know, he always draws well from the old school ancient voters, but, you know, actually, he lost those. You know, I'm puzzled by this result. Seriously, I am.
To me, the result, Cum winning by 2 votes, that makes sense to me. Like, when I think of Jones, I think he's more of a Carter. He's not really that much of a leader, whereas Cum is, you know, the admin. He's been here forever in a position of high status. When you see Jones winning the ancient voters and Cum winning the newest school 10-4, that is bizarre. That's very bizarre. Maybe it might be because the new school voters want to play GoldenEye Perfect Dark, so they kind of pay attention to that more than the community as a whole. And since Cum is more involved a little bit there, maybe that's why. It is puzzling for sure.
It's puzzling, absolutely. Yeah. All right. There is another match, guys, I want to discuss from the play-in matches. We had Thyrodiil taking it up against Wodos. And Thyrodiil won that one 32-9, which is actually a very nice result. Okay, DK, does this say anything about the strength of Third in this year's contest? Or is Wodos just too much of an unknown player outside of Twitch to be able to say anything useful about that? Is it kind of comparable to the YE Mirror Mage match?
I think it's exactly like the YE Mirror Mage match, in that people who aren't as, you know, active within the games in Twitch probably don't really know who Wodos is. And you can see again from the chat vote, 19-1 in favor of Third, so that's where he got most of his support. And Wodos, like Mirror Mage, drew, you know, the majority of his votes from new people, from active people, and from the Twitch blocks. So I think those two matches are very similar. I don't know if it says more about how strong Third is in the contest or how weak Wodos ended up being. I actually expected, kind of like the Mirror Mage match, I expected Wodos to do better than that, and I thought that there was a chance that he could straight up win.
Next up, we're going on to the first round now. We already covered the match of Luke and Dio, and then we had YE absolutely smashing Mirror Mage out of the contest, 32-11. That was the second match played.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, this is to be expected. I do think Mirror is like one of the best overall new leaders. Like, nobody really dislikes him. He's a friendly kid. And especially for being a young guy, you know, he shows pretty good maturity and all that. But I think back to 2006 when I was a new leader and I smashed Elite Legend Marshmallow in the first round, 49-44.
Wow.
It just seems like these kind of things don't happen anymore. It seems like you have to be around for a few years to get respect up. I think the match would have been a lot different if YE didn't go to Virginia last year.
Yeah.
I think things would have been very different. He might not even have made the contest at all. So I think that certainly helped him here.
Yeah, because I actually do remember YE making some early exits in previous editions of the summer contest. But he looks strong this time.
I think if there's one thing we can take away from a few matches here, it's that we thought Twitch would be a huge factor in determining winners of matches, but clearly we are mistaken. It seems to be completely irrelevant right now.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the big blocks in general, I mean, we talked on the show last time about what would be the the big blocks that determine who wins the matches this year, and whether, you know, considering times are changing, whether the Twitch block would start having more strength than, say, something like chat. And I just dug up some numbers before the show, and just looking at four of the major blocks, so GoldenEye, chat, Twitch, and ActiveVote, out of the 10 matches that we've had so far, when the person has won GoldenEye, they've won 7 out of the 10 matches. So if you win GoldenEye, you win 70% of the time. For chat, the person who won chat also won 7 out of 10 with one tie. But it's also worth noting that Red Bull actually beat Blood E when Blood E won chat 15-6. So it just goes to show that you can still win even if you get destroyed in chat, which I found pretty surprising.
Yeah, especially considering the fact that Max has been away from the elite for, well, I guess more than 2 years already. And I think it's great that people are still showing some love for his Perfect Dark achievements and his chat involvement in some years ago. And yeah, well, people still remember that. Yeah,
I mean, the match was against Blood E, so, you know, that's also something to keep in mind. It's not like he was up against someone more liked in the community.
Yeah, that's against, true. Yeah.
Fair enough.
But moving on, the other two blocks, in terms of the Twitch block, when a person wins the Twitch voters, they've only won 6 out of the 10 matches with 2 ties. And finally, for the active block, when a person has won the active voters, they've won 7 out of 10 with 1 tie. So, it seems like out of these 4 major blocks, the Twitch block actually seems the least predictive of success in the match. Small sample size, but still.
It goes everywhere. Kind of like Rafael Nadal on Wimbledon.
The Nate-Alec Boy match was pretty amazing. My vote of the day was something like, I would rather kill myself than be stuck on an elevator with either one of these two guys for 2 hours.
Really? That's amazing. Yeah. Why did that didn't make the cut? And I did with the where I said, oh, let's read it out. Mork and Mindy. Alec turns out to be the Pope. Mother Hubbard, look at that shiny costume. Unfortunately, I've sworn allegiance to Dylan Thomas's boathouse, so vote goes to Nate Wowser Simi Trouser Stinson.
You picked a perfect match to use it, though, because that one is so irrelevant, and there's nothing really to say about Nate or Alec that, you know, it was just a right match to use it.
I don't know. I think you could do it again.
Well, I mean, looking at an upcoming match like Orion Lockwood against Adam Bozon, I don't think any chatters have anything to say about those two guys. I'm not even sure if chatters know those guys are eliters or not. So I think that'd be a perfect opportunity to use the Dylan Thomas's boathouse.
Yeah, writing and noting that down. All right, noted.
I had no idea what to put for the vote for Bully and Bloody, so I wrote this. I copied your vote and I said, Mork and Mindy, Bloody turns out to be the guy from Fallout New Vegas. Mother Hubbard, look at that shiny costume. Unfortunately, I've sworn allegiance to Dylan Thomas's boathouse, so vote goes to Max Wowsers and Me Trousers Bully.
Yeah,
it didn't get picked for vote of the day. I was pretty upset.
Ah, wow.
I was hoping maybe one vote of the day for every match the rest of the contest would be that formula.
All right, guys. Well, speaking of which, let's talk about some upcoming matches. First of all, today is my match. Well, I'm not going to say anything about that. I'm just going to see how it turns out and just hoping for the best. Then we have DK versus Mattis. Now, I actually believe that's an interesting match because I think DK is going to win for sure. But still, interesting match. It'll be a good match for you, DK, to see what your strength is in this year's contest.
Yeah, I think so. And I actually think Cedric may have been a bigger threat if he had made it out of there just because we'd draw from completely different fan bases. Cedric may have been able to draw more heavily from GoldenEye and Active and maybe give me a scare in the first round. I think it's more to my advantage that I'm facing Matus because we do probably draw from the same places. I mean, Matus is always going to have a group of people who are loyal to him and will vote for him, but the question is, will he be able to draw enough votes from other places? You know, keep this match close. I think it could be close. I don't really want to say too much about it since it is my own match, but Nobody asked you.
Nobody asked you.
Well, DK, you've been to Virginia, correct?
Yes.
And I don't think Matus has, or has he?
He's gone to Virginia every year.
Okay, well, whatever. I mean, then I have nothing to say either. I think the trend of the contest seems to be the more irrelevant person will win. So I think both Dan Edeen and Adam Matus will beat both of you guys tonight and tomorrow.
Wow. Wowzers in me trousers. Smack me! All right, moving on. We got Dirk versus Whiff. Now, guys, I can say a lot, but I have no freaking idea who's gonna win this match. This is a coin flip to me, honestly.
They used to be really good friends, Dirk and Whiff. And I think Whiff just got caught up too much in the fantasy, NFL, chess, poker, preds community. And Dirk went more towards the GoldenEye. And I don't know what their friendship status is right now. I have a hard time seeing Dirk win this because, again, Whiff, like, I haven't heard from Whiff in years. I don't even know he's still
an active leader.
Is he still an active leader? I don't know.
Nah, he comes in chat once a day saying morning, and that's it.
He's a 6 seed. I mean, he has to win this one.
Yeah, I think Whiff will probably win, although I think it will be close.
Dirk always was pretty high seeded in previous years, but he never came far because he got anti-voted or I don't know what happened, but he just never made it far enough. But this year, I think could be different. I seriously believe that because Dirk has been in Twitch chats a lot. He has still been posting on the boards. Whiff has faded away. And, you know, I can see Dirk keeping it very, very close, up to a couple of votes, actually.
Yeah, I do agree that Dirk hasn't been as trolly. He probably hasn't bothered as many people. You know, him and I are kind of similar like that. I think we've both kind of been more tolerable and less people hate us right now. So I think Dirk could do okay, but I still think Whiff is probably going to win due to his incredible amounts of irrelevance.
Fair enough. All right, guys, moving on. We have Alex versus MG. We got the guy that went to Awesome Games down quick, played GoldenEye in front of the whole fucking world. And then we have MG.
More people watched Alex's AGDQ run than watched Stephen Darcy upset Rafael Nadal this morning.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So,
but again, I think irrelevance will win, and I think MG is going to win this match.
I don't really agree. I think that Alex will win this. I think he will probably same fan base factor MG and GoldenEye very heavily, and I don't know if he's going to really be able to overcome that. And I think Alex will garner at least a couple of chat votes as well, just because there are chatters around who, you know, are aware of what Alex did at AGDQ, and they'll, I think, show him some respect for that. I don't know for certain if that'll happen, but that's what I think may happen. So I think Alex will win this.
It's gonna be tough to say what Awesome Games Done Quick did for him, but we'll find out soon enough in a couple of days. Moving on. And we got Lockwood versus Adam Dark LTK filmed with a webcam boson. Well,
this is gonna be an interesting match, actually. I think a lot of people really like Boson Silo DLTK. A lot of people really admire that he did it, regardless of the video quality. I mean, Boson is asking about picking up a stream and a DVD recorder now. How convenient, after he's already beaten Silo DLTK.
Maybe he's gonna beat it again, just for proof's sake.
But Lockwood's been to Virginia, and a lot of people like him, so this match is very dynamic.
Yeah, I'd say the edge has to go slightly in Lockwood's favor, but like I said on the show last week, I'm wondering just how many votes the whole Silo Dark LTK accomplishment is going to get Boson. How much respect has he earned because of that, and how many people are going to throw their votes his way just because of that? Because otherwise, I think this would be Lockwood in a blowout, but the this, you know, huge accomplishment that Boson has done may get him some extra votes. And the question is, will it be enough to potentially, you know, put him over the edge in this match? I think this will end up fairly close, but I do think that Lockwood will still win.
Moving on. To me, this is the most interesting matchup we're going to have for the next 7 days. It's going to be Ryan Isran taking it up against Glenn Stevens. I think that's a very scary matchup for Ace. Being a number one seed, I think he is going to be threatened hugely by Glenn Stevens. Guys, take it away.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. But. That's so bad. I need to practice this.
I think this match is going to kind of foretell the entire contest. Glenn beat Comet 24-16. Now, Comet is, from what I understand, a fairly active chatter still. So a lot of those 16 votes...
Well, there goes your analysis over.
Comet's been kind of a ghost for the past year, which is why he's been demoted from co-host status.
Okay, just rewind that speech you were giving and just say that Comet is such a likable guy that no matter how long he will be gone, people will continue to vote for him because that's the truth. All right, pick it up from there.
So Glenn beat Comet's 24-16. And I think a lot of those 16 votes could come from Comet having been such a popular active chatter in chat, as well as being the former host of the DK and Comet show and this kind of thing. You know, he was liked and active in the community rather than the gaming aspect. So Ace might not get those 16 votes. He might get fewer votes from that block. So Glenn very well could win this match. I think if Ace wins the match, it kind of foretells that maybe the games and streaming does have a bit of an influence on the contest this year. If Ace loses the match, then it'll show that GoldenEye Twitch is all irrelevant and it's all about who is popular with chat and who went to Virginia.
I really believe that Ace's first round is harder than any other match he's going to have in his whole block. If Ace loses, then the whole upper side of the draw, it'll be up for grasp for anyone. So that's very interesting.
I mean, how many Steve Darcy's can we have here? If two number one seeds go down, it'll be unbelievable.
I mean, for the first time in history, it could happen that two first seeds go down in like the first week of the first round, and then...
It'll be funny when Carl loses his first round match, and then it'll be up to Jimbo to keep the perfect streak of number ones losing in the first match.
Oh my god.
And then everyone will vote Max just for lols, and Jimbo will lose.
Oh, just imagine the rage. Just picture it for a second there.
I picture him on the couch when he's 16, about 300 pounds with the fist.
Smashing a GameCube controller, yeah.
I know what picture you're talking about.
All right, so guys, I think we covered all the matches we have to cover for now for this week's podcast. Is there anything else we'd like to discuss? What's happening in the Elite right now? I mean, today I opened up the boards and there's this topic about the Henning Blum removal topic. What happened? Goose.
Yeah, so basically, generally speaking, GoldenEye, the weapon you are holding when you end the level is the weapon you'll be seen in the cinema with. Henning ends the level with a grenade, which is already insanely difficult to do, to warp to a grenade. And he's shown in the cinema with a mine. This is the exact same thing that got him caught on Frigate. Now, it's already been like concluded that, oh, it's possible to switch last frame to a mine, and it's possible to switch to a grenade. So pretty much everyone thinks that it's real. But I mean, what's more likely? This is what I ask all the leaders listening. This is my plight. What is more likely? That he did this 1 in 1,000 warp to a grenade, and he did this 1 in 1,000 switch to a mine last frame on a world record run, or a proven faker has been caught faking with the exact same technique that he had used previously and is denying it as he did previously? What is more likely, Elite?
Yeah,
open
sure.
Your minds.
Well, obviously, the latter is the most obviously one, but still, it's no hard proof. And you need hard proof to take down a cheater. Or a confession.
I mean, they took down Lance Armstrong without any hard proof.
Well, he confessed.
I think he didn't confess. He just stopped saying that he stopped, like, defending himself.
He confessed on the Oprah show, so we need Hanning. We need Hanning on the Oprah show.
I agree. We'll get him on.
BRB making the vid.
That's one of the best images I've seen. Who made that? Was it
Clemens did it?
Clemens. Man. We need Clemens on this show as well, by the way.
Yeah, Clemens has kind of been inactive. I wish he'd show up a bit more.
Yeah. Where is he? He's working a lot, right? Isn't he?
Yeah, he works a lot, and he's just kind of done with GoldenEye, I guess, for now. He's taken a break.
What has he been playing? He has been playing some games, hasn't he?
He's been playing Super Metroid for SNES, and he's only like 2 minutes off the world record for any percent or something, so he's like decent. I think he might have the 9th best time in the game, so it's pretty impressive for just picking it up and after a couple months of playing.
All right. Well, what else, guys? What else is happening in the Elite? Give me some. Sorry.
I mean, not in the Elite, but the Macaron just got a sick Ocarina of Time any percent record where he bounced off a rock down Ganon's castle and beat the world record by 32 seconds. So you guys should check that out.
So the glitch has been evolved.
Yeah, you can skip Ganon's castle now. You basically warp through the Deku Tree to the top of Ganon's tower, then super slide off of a rock down Ganon's tower and then fight Ganon, and it's game over.
Wow, that's insane, man. That game is more broken than
Rafael Nadal's career.
Exactly. Yep. DK, I'm giving the floor to you, and close it off for us, will you?
All right, that just about wraps up another edition of the DK and Kara Show. For everybody here at the show, I'm DK, and we will see you guys next time. Crikey, oh blimey, the show is over!
Happy Valentine's Day.
The DK!